Hey everyone, it's Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith. And so far, this series is giving all of us powerful tools to share our faith. A faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. Okay, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Daring to Commit.
Your life is actually shaped by your commitments. We become whatever we are committed to. If you don't commit yourself to anything, you become nothing in life. You are shaped by your commitments. Great people are just ordinary people who've made a great commitment to a cause greater than themselves. Nobody is naturally great. You're not naturally great. I'm not naturally great. We're just normal, ordinary people. People become great men or great women of God when they commit themselves to something greater than themselves. You need a cause bigger than you to live for. If the only thing you're living for is you, that's not a big enough reason to get out of bed. Just call it in and stay in bed tomorrow. Instead, you need something bigger than yourself to live for, which draws you out of yourself, which makes you bigger than yourself, which brings out greatness in your life. We become whatever we're committed to. Now, the problem is a lot of people are afraid of making commitments. And we see that in our society today. We have a lot of people who don't want to commit to anything. There's no loyalty in our nation really much anymore. And for a lot of people, it's kind of like going down a buffet line. And the fear of commitment comes from there might be something better a little bit later on. And so you stand there in front of the salad area, you know, at the first of the, the buffet, and you go, well, I really don't want to fill up my plate. There might be something better. And then you get a little bit further down in the, you know, the casseroles or whatever, and you go, well, there might be something better. And you get down to the end of the meats and go, well, there might, you know, I'll wait for the desserts. You get down the end and the desserts don't look together. Because you haven't committed to the end, you don't have anything on your plate because you were afraid to commit. You cannot live a life without making some kind of commitments. You can't buy a house without making a commitment. You can't buy a car without making a commitment. You can't have a job without making a commitment. So you have to make some commitment. You can't get married without making a commitment. So commitments define our lives. And the key is to make good ones, to make fewer bad commitments, and to make more good commitments. Now, the Bible says this about commitment, Romans chapter 6, the top of your outline. Give yourself completely to God. That's a commitment. Give yourself completely to God, every part of you, for you've been brought back to life, and you want to be tools in the hands of God, used for His good purposes. That's the highest commitment you can make in life, to give yourself completely to God, to be used for the purposes that He made you, that He created you. Romans 12, verse 1 says pretty much something similar. Since God has shown us great mercy, and He has, offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Now, circle the word offer and circle the word sacrifice. Offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. This is talking about your life. Offer your life as a sacrifice to God. What I want to do this weekend is talk to you about how your five deepest needs in your life are met by five great commitments. You know that we believe that there are five purposes for life. They're covered in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. In fact, the motto, the slogan of Saddleback Church for 35 years has been this: a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will grow a great church. That's the Saddleback slogan for 35 years. A great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will grow a great church. It's been copied by tens of thousands of other churches. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission are the two great statements of Jesus, where He says, love God with all your heart, love your neighbors yourself, go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to do everything I've commanded you. From those two passages, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, there are five verbs and there are five things God wants us to do with our lives. He wants us to know Him, to love Him, to grow in Him, to serve him and to share him with others. We call this membership, maturity, ministry, mission, magnification. We call it worship, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, evangelism. It doesn't really matter the words you use. The fact is God has five purposes for your life, but they're worthless unless you commit to each of them. Now, you've heard me teach on the purposes of life many, many times. But one of the things I want to point out this morning is that you cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life by yourself. I'll say it again. You cannot possibly at all, there's no way you're going to do this, fulfill God's purpose for your life by yourself. We were made for each other. We were wired for community. We're made for relationships. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Whether you marry or not, you need relationships in your life. You need a spiritual family. And some things you can only do with others, you can only learn with others, you can only be with others. And we're going to talk about those five commitments this morning. Now let's get right into it. The first commitment is the one that causes your faith to be strengthened. And unless you make this commitment, your faith will not be strengthened on a regular basis for the rest of your life. And here it is. Number one, the first commitment. To strengthen my faith, I must unite with others in worship. To strengthen my faith, I must unite with others in worship. Now, worship is for God, but it brings benefits to you. And I could give you 50 benefits of worshiping God. Let me just mention two. It renews your faith, and it restores your joy. It renews your faith and restores your joy. When you come to worship like this, and you get together with other people and you worship, it renews your faith and it restores your joy. Let me show you two verses. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. How many times have you gotten up on a Sunday morning or whatever, and you said, I am so tired. I really don't have any energy to go to church, to go to worship. And yet you went to worship, and afterwards, you were more energized. How many of you would say that? Yeah, of course, because it renews your strength. You're not going to get your strength renewed watching golf on TV. That's just going to make you lazier and lazier. You get renewed, your strength gets recharged. Sometimes I think of myself like the coach on Rocky, you know? Rocky's out there in every episode, in every session in that fight, and he's out there and he's, you know, pouring his heart out and he's just getting beat to a pulp. And the bell rings, he goes, thank God the bell rings. And he comes back over in the corner and the coach comes over and says, you're doing a good job. Throws some water on him, pats him on the back, slaps him on the face, says, now get back out there. And sometimes I feel that's what I'm doing on Sunday for you. Okay, I'm going, you're doing a good job. Now get back out there. It's Monday morning, tomorrow morning. Don't let them beat you up. You're okay. You can make it. And so you come in here, and I kind of take spiritual jumper cables and go, and I renew your strength. Well, it's not me. It's the Word of God. And it's music, and it's worship. And that's what renews our strength. Look at this other verse. Worship the Lord with gladness. Now, it says, come before him singing with joy. In the Bible, Psalm 100 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Not I was mad, not I was sad, like, oh, brother. I'll let you know my bias. I think it ought to be fun to go to church. That may be shocking to you, but the Bible says, I was glad, not I was mad, not I was sad, not I was bored, not I was guilty, not I felt like I had to go out of duty. The thing I love about Saddleback Church, nobody comes out of duty. They're here because they want to be here. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing. Now here's the second life commitment. The first life commitment gives me spiritual strength, and that is my commitment to be in worship regularly with other people. That energizes me, restores my strength, renews my joy. Number two, second commitment. This is the commitment that helps you discover your identity, and this is the commitment that helps you discover your purpose in life. It may shock you, but this is how you discover it. I must connect with others in fellowship. I must connect with others for fellowship. We only learn who we are in relationship. We only learn our true identity in community. You'll never learn who you really are by yourself. You only learn it in relationships. For instance, if you had been born and you lived your entire life to adulthood with no human contact, none at all, you wouldn't have the slightest idea who or what you were. You wouldn't even know you were a human being. You only know that because you're in relationship to other human beings. You learn your identity by being in relationships. If you had no human contact, you wouldn't know who you are. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that specifically, we need to be connected to God's family. We need to be connected in fellowship. We need to be connected to the body of Christ. That's the phrase that's used for the church. Romans 12, 4 and 5. We are like the various parts of the human body. And each part gets its meaning, circle the word meaning, that's where you find your meaning in life. Each part gets its meaning from Christ's body as a whole, not the other way around. Each of us finds our meaning and our function, that's your purpose in life, as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? Now, this is kind of obvious. My ear only functions, only fulfills its purpose by being connected to the body. If my ear was cut off and is laying on the ground over there, what's the value of a cut off ear? None. It can't hear anything. My nose, if it got cut off and it's laying over there on the ground, what's the purpose of a cut off nose? None. It has no purpose. It cannot smell anything by itself. My eyes, if they're not in my eye sockets attached to my body, what is the purpose of my eye? None. It has no value, it has no purpose unless it's connected to the body. The purpose that God made you for can only be discovered connected to the body of Christ. If you're not connected to the church, then you're not gonna know the purpose. You're not gonna know your role, you're not gonna know your function, you're not gonna know your value and your meaning in life. Disconnected, if my hand is cut off, it just withers and dies. It can't grasp anything. It has no use at all. The hand is only useful as it is connected to the body. Your value, your use, your purpose, your identity comes in relationship to God's body, to God's family, the church. It's all about relationships. This, by the way, is why when you're in conflict with somebody, your life sucks. Everything could be going good in your life. You got a lot of money, you got a lot of health, you look good, you feel good, all these things. And then all of a sudden you have a conflict with somebody and they criticize you or they betray you or they reject you and you have conflict with that person. All of a sudden, no matter what else is going on good in your life stinks. Because we don't like conflict because we get our identity and we get our purpose and we get all of these things in our relationships. It's why conflict is so miserable and so painful. And it's why God, once we accept Christ into our lives, wants us to become peacemakers, reconcilers, and people who, rather than create conflict in the world, we create harmony in the world. The Bible calls it the ministry of reconciliation. And your job, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is to make relationships better, not make them worse. To create peace and harmony and love, not conflict. Now the Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 2. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. And when he brought us, who's he talking about? He's talking about all the races, all the ethnic groups, all of the people who are different from you, all of the different languages. He says Christ brought all of us together, every background, every nation, every tribe, through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Nobody's better than anybody else at the cross. Doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what language you speak. We're all equally loved by God, equally valued by God, equally important to God, have equal dignity before God. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of hostility. God invented the church as an agent for reconciliation in the world. God invented the church to be the one place where there's no distinction between how you look, how much money you make, who you are. And that's true in our church. We got rich and we got poor. We got handsome and ugly. We got smart people, uneducated people. We've got every race, every space, every you know, I've told you this many times. We speak 67 languages in our church. And the A in Saddleback stands for All Nation Congregation because we want our church to look like heaven's going to look. When you get to heaven, everybody isn't going to look like you. And if you don't like diversity here, you're going to hate heaven. Because in heaven, we're all going to be every, as the Bible says, every race, every language, every tribe, every nation, every skin color. It's all, we're all going to be, God invented that. You look like you do because God wanted you to look like you. And the person he made sitting next to you, he wanted them to look like them. When you reject your race or your background, you're basically rejecting God. You're saying, God, you didn't do a good job. Because he made you. He wants you to be you and he doesn't want you to be somebody else. So we are to build harmony with each other. By the way, with that verse where it says Jesus brought us all together, do you know the history behind this? The temple in Jerusalem was the most segregated building in the world. It was incredibly segregated. None of us, not one of us, would be able to go into the temple in Jerusalem. Because inside the temple, there was the Holy of Holies, there was the inner court, and there was the outer court, and no Jews were allowed, and no non-Jews were allowed in the temple. We would be called Gentiles. And we would be on the outside, whether we're from Africa or Asia or Latin America or Europe, or we would all be considered Gentiles. And so none of us would be allowed to go in even into the outer court. In fact, do you know what the law said? That if you, as an Asian or an African or a European, walked into the, and you weren't Jewish, and you walked in the outer court, they could kill you. The death penalty. Now, you talk about segregation. That's the ultimate segregation. Walk in here and you die. The Bible says Jesus came and said, finished with that. He said, no way. When Christ died on the cross, not only was the veil in the temple destroyed between God and man, but symbolically, that outer court wall came down and he said, now everybody. He not only tore down the wall, he invented an entire new organization. And it's the only organization on the planet for everybody. Is called the church. Whether you're red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight. The church is for everybody. It's a whole radical concept. Amazing grace for every race. And that's the second thing here, that if you become a follower of Jesus, you have to commit to that. You have to commit to that. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5. Now God has reconciled us to himself, that's salvation, through Christ. And what happens after I'm saved? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Do you think either of those are needed in the world today? Hello. Have you been watching the news this last week? If any body needs reconciliation right now. We have so many divisions in our nation right now between gender, between races, between economic status. And Christians ought to be at the forefront saying, hey, there's one place where everybody's welcome no matter where they are from. It's the church. We should be the place showing love, showing fellowship. You know, this week I was watching on TV and I was watching and I was kind of just shocked because Ben Watson is a NFL player, a place for the New Orleans Saints. And he got on one of these shows and he started preaching and I had to tape it. Watch this.
Your message is getting out there and it's a great message.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, honestly, we all have a problem. And I've said it before. We all have a sin problem as human beings. And it's something that we're born with. And we just see it manifest in different ways. And in this situation, it's racial. It's brutality. It's people breaking the law. It's the smoke. But the underlying fire is something that we all have to deal with. And that's our sin. And only through a relationship with Jesus Christ is that we can really deal with these situations and deal with our problem. And then we can move forward and have reconciliation. Then we can move forward and create create jobs. Then we can move forward and have better relations between the community and police officers. Then we can move forward and truly love our brothers with the love of God once we have that in our own hearts. And so when I see things like this happen, I really hurt, because it is a heart change that needs to happen in America right now in order for us to be reconciled.
You know, Ben, we should have taken your message after Ferguson. You know, maybe if a lot of the communities had, you know, had taken your message to heart then a little bit more and focused on some of the bigger problems that we have. You know, unfortunately, you know, so we go through these different episodes where now we watch Baltimore two nights ago was burning, a senior center. Yeah. Senior center was burned. And, you know, now tonight a very tense situation is that, you know, what's it going to take for all of us to sort of sit down and really work on these problems?
Well, first of all, I think that there is great hope. And I've said, you know, the gospel gives us hope. It gives mankind hope. But I've seen people join together. I've seen pastors in these communities. I've seen different community leaders join hands. I've seen and heard myself from people who are in the police force who don't have these same feelings, who aren't a part of the brutality, who want those things to change. So, well, while it may seem when we're watching on TV and we're away from it that there's nothing happening, nothing positive happening, I'm encouraged that there really are people out there who are trying to make a change. And as soon as we understand that we all have the susceptibility to do these things, and we address our sin problem, I really believe we'll be able to move forward as a country.
Ben was preaching on TV. Wow. I'm going to invite that guy to come do a sermon here. He was so good. I mean, NFL player, and he's saying it's a sin problem. The hope is the gospel. We've got to give our lives to Christ. Until we're reconciled to Christ, we can't be reconciled with each other. He's saying all the right things. That's what's needed to be said. And this is the second commitment in life. I'll not only worship God, I'll build fellowship among other people, because we need each other for fellowship. And that's where we find our identity and our purpose. The only way that we can win, all win, is by standing together.
What a great message today from Pastor Rick. There's something I always can use in my own life after listening to this show. All right, would you like to step out of a life of ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith? Then please order the Daring Faith DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today.
You know, today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we will send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit. And it has six video sessions and a workbook, and that's our way of saying thanks for your gift. So go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.